The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, Ger Herbert, motoring editor with the Sunday Independent, joins me in studio this morning with all of our motoring news. And the real focus of all of the news stories this week is the EV, the electric car. It appears we all covet one, don't we? Or many of us do, Ger.
Yeah, lots of news on EVs at the moment. Interesting research from Toyota who looked at sort of plan what buyers are planning to do in the future. And 61% of Irish drivers said their next used car would be electrified. Now, they use the term electrified to cover a lot. So you're talking about hybrid, plug-in hybrid or electric, basically a non sort of standard petrol or diesel. But still, 61% is a lot.
And 43% say they want to buy a new car. That kind of surprised me. I thought that would be lower. How are they paying for them?
Yeah, finance is the big thing more than anything, dealership finance. But again, the new car market is very small. I mean, you know, we see the figures every year, 120,000. A huge number of cars change hands every year, but they're not necessarily new. So I think people aspire to new cars and they probably do the figures and everything. But it's quite a small market. But it's interesting that now the move towards electric is in the used market and in the new car market. And I suppose that's the big news more than anything.
That there is a used market, actually, Finally. I mean, there were concerns and there perhaps remain concerns around battery longevity, but a lot of the newer models that are coming out really offer longer and longer battery life.
Yeah, absolutely, with long guarantees and warranties from car companies as well, you know, up to 10 years some of them give on warranties. But the thing about it is, even after those 10 years, you can get a battery checked at any time. And I think that's where the confidence is beginning to grow in the used car market. More and more of the car manufacturers are offering that. So you can get a state of health, basically, it's called, of the battery. You know exactly where you are with it. So you're not buying blind anymore. So I think people, that reassures people. But again, that information needs to, you know, kind of filter down to all car buyers.
Yeah. And some of the other interesting information within that research was that despite the relative ease with which you can put a car up for sale, you know, there's loads and loads of platforms out there, we are still more comfortable with going into the old traditional dealer.
Yeah, I have to say I'd still advise it, to be honest, Ciara, because, you know, you have very little consumer protection if you buy privately. You know, you do, if you ask the right questions, you will have some kind of, you know, comeback if anything goes wrong. But generally, you're far better off to go into to a dealership. You can come back if there's an issue. You know, there's a form of complaint and everything. So a formal way of doing it. So, yeah, you're probably better off.
Let's look at those EVs again. In particular, Tesla. I read a story, it actually popped up on my phone last week and I read it immediately. And it was an account from a local person in Western Germany who had tried to rescue people in a car that had crashed and had burst into flames. And what essentially he was saying was that he was unable to open the car door. And this wasn't a single account when I went to research, and it is something now that Tesla are taking very seriously.
Yeah, this is something that Bloomberg recently highlighted, and it's an issue basically with the design of rear door, the manual release. It is possible to, so if the car loses electrical power through a crash or a fire or something like that, you can manually open the back doors, but where the button is not easy to find. And there has been quite a number of cases where young children or passengers not familiar with the car have not been able to get out, and rescue people have not been able to get in, and terrible, terrible situation. So yeah, they've had to look at it again. China as well, their authorities there have said this is something that needs looking at. It's a safety issue. So I think we will see a recall on vehicles with this change.
And what does that mean? Like, anybody who has one of those models will have to bring it back into the garage and it'll have to be retrofitted in some way?
Some sort of a system will have to be put in place. So I presume it'll be fairly small, but it'll be significant. But I mean, I think the advice really for people who have those cars is to ensure that anybody travelling in the back of it knows where that manual release is familiar with the car. You know, I mean, these things are quite rare to happen, but if they do happen, you need to know, particularly kids, or if you were giving a lift to somebody who mightn't be familiar with a Tesla at all, they could be sitting in the back, they mightn't have a clue where these things are. So maybe it's just a good idea to point out.
And perhaps some education of our emergency services, because I have to say the first time I went to get into a Tesla, I couldn't figure out how to open the door. I clearly don't get into them too often.
But so much these days in all cars has been controlled now through the touch screen. I mean, I've had cars where you open the glove box through the touch screen. I mean, it's gone are the days where you could just push buttons and you'd find it eventually. So yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with this move away from actual real physical buttons.
There has been a lot of anecdotal evidence too of people who are travelling within EVs feeling more car sick more frequently and actually feeling more severely car sick. It's true.
Yeah, this is interesting. This is a report that was done, and there's kind of two things that explain it. Number one is this very fast acceleration in an EV, so that can actually, you know, upset stomachs and make people feel bad. But the other thing is we don't get the sensory cues to our brain that we're moving in the same way as we do in a petrol or diesel car, because they make certain noises, and those noises tell our brain we're on the move. And for some reason, they're not as obvious in an EV, and the conflicting signs, it's always these conflicting things that actually cause motion sickness. That's why if you have a kid in the back of the car, you're always told to put them in the middle seat where they can actually see the road in front of them.
And so it's where your body is anticipating something and then it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So it reminds me of, do you know when you step on a travelator?
Yeah.
And it's actually switched off and you have that moment of thinking.
Yeah, or if you're stopped in your car and somebody moves beside you, that moment of thinking you're moving. So it's when these conflicting messages go to the brain. Because the EVs are so smooth as well, we're just not aware of the fact that we're on the move. And obviously it's that conflict. So there are various different things the car makers are looking at and kind of auditory signals and whatever to just inform the brain. But essentially that's what it seems to come down to, which is... it's funny, really.
I take it they presume that in time when more of us get used to actually travelling in EVs that we'll just adjust.
Yeah, I thought the same. If that's the only car you've ever been in, if you grow up as a kid in an EV, by the time you get to being a teenager, you've never known anything else. But for the moment, the vast majority of us have driven in other cars. So our brain is just not getting that information that it needs.
OK, advice then to those who are travelling in those cars and are feeling a bit nauseous. Is there anything you can do?
Ginger apparently is good for you. And again, as I said, if you have a child, and between 2 and 12 apparently is the key ages for car sickness with kids, is put them in the middle seat and let them have a clear view of the road ahead and drive as smoothly as you can, obviously. But it's about seeing, about the brain being told we're on the move.
Okay. Europe's small car market has really contracted quite dramatically in recent years. Why has that happened, and what are they going to do to address that?
Yeah, so basically the issue is it's just become too expensive really to make small cars and make a profit. Simple as that. Between emission regulation and safety regulation, you have to put so much safety stuff into a car now. If you're trying to make a profit on a car, it just has to be bigger. So this kind of sub-market, this kind of 15,000 euro market is long since gone. And I think, according to the report, there was one car available in Europe at that price. I was struggling to think what in God's name it is. I don't know of a single car you can buy for 15,000 euros. But anyway, so Ursula von der Leyen has said that that the EU is now going to support car makers in making these small city cars. They're going to bring in a new class of car. Personally, I can't see the point of them, Kira, because people who are car bound are outside of a city. If you're in a city, you have options. So anyway, look, they seem to think this will revive the tiny car market.
I'm just looking at a text that comes in that says, how can you say this about electric car? In fairness, who's going to buy an electric car today with the cost of electricity going up and up? Be more realistic. But I mean,
it's still cheaper to run than a fuel car.
The price of petrol ain't exactly cheap either, is it?
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of trying to invest and buy an EV car, I was looking at some of the incentives in some of the other European countries. Like, they're pretty good.
Yeah, that was interesting. Eurobusiness, or Euronews did a survey of all of them. The interesting thing is in Italy, they have 11,000. They give off a car, which is nearly 30% of the price. In Greece, it's 9. In Poland, it's 9,000. But all of these cars have tiny market shares of EV. Like we're now at 17%. In Italy, it's 5%. So they have to do something like that. Whereas if you look at Norway and Denmark, where it's up at 94%, they do very little because they've done the hard work in the past. So it really depends on where the market share is.
All right. You're Herbert Morting, editor with the Sunday Independent. Thank you for all of that information and all of that very interesting insight.